Brad and John.
You want to talk some trash?
It's pretty rare that Steve Perry does an interview, but he did one with Dan Rather, and it aired the other night on Access TV, and we'll give you a little bit of that here. We're going to deal with, we'll have some today and some tomorrow. Today, let's deal with the use of the song Don't Stop Believing in the Sopranos series finale. Sopranos created by David Chase. You'll hear him referenced here in Steve Perry's little discussion about this song. The way it works is the three of the guys in Journey, Steve Perry is one of them, have to sign off on any song that is used in a commercial or a movie. All three have to agree. Got to have a unanimous vote before it's used. So David Chase comes to the guys and says, the Journey people, and says, we would love to have Don't Stop Believing used in the last episode of the series.
The biggest television series going at the time.
So two of the three guys in Journey are like, all right, let's go. Let's go. Let's sign off on that.
And wasn't the song already riding a wave of popularity from baseball teams?
Yeah, the Chicago White Sox had used it on their run to the World Series. And so the song was getting a rebirth. This was the thing, of course, that just seemed to throw it over the top. But Steve Perry was being kind of difficult about the use of the song in that series. Here he is talking about that.
This is a true story. Okay, I was the one of the three songwriters, myself, John, and Neil. We wrote the song together. I was the one that was holding out and approving that song, only because I did not want to see the whole family get whacked. There was rumors that the last segment was going to be a serious one. Right. You know, David Chase had the potential. Let's put it that way. And so I just wanted to know, so what happens? But because it was the last one, it was all hush-hush and very tight. And I didn't say from my own one-third songwriting approval side, I didn't say okay until I got some sort of qualification. How is it used? I just wanted to know.
I guess if it's linked to some horrible scene or something,
where the kids are getting taken out, or so he did not give permission until 72 hours before the final episode actually aired.
Thursday before it airs on Sunday night, I told my publishers, I won't say yes unless you get a phone call from somebody in David Chase's office or David himself. And she said, okay, let me just call him back. So 4 o'clock, she calls me. She says, okay, you have to swear not to tell nobody. I said, I promise, because I can't say yes unless you tell me. She tells me how it ends. She tells me nobody gets whacked. She says, he does the whole story with the cutting back and forth, this and that, and all. I got the whole thing. Did not tell me they went to black. They did not tell me that. But that's okay, because I, like the rest of the country, when it went to black, I mean, what happened to my TV? You know. But it was really brilliant the way he cut it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and how many more?
I did think something was wrong with my television for a second.
How many more millions do you think they made off of that, just that thing being used? I mean, it just gave that song, it brought it into a whole different generation, you know, adopted that song, and you know, it's now I assume that is the show closer at all Journey concerts, I would imagine, right? Okay, a couple new books out about Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, both titled Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. One of the books details more about women and the guys fighting over the women and things like that and their relationships with women. And in one of the books is written by a Rolling Stone writer. They detail Stephen Stills' crush on Judy Collins after he saw her perform in Greenwich Village. So he gets a crush on her, and then they have a thing. And then later Stills wrote Sweet Judy Blue Eyes. And his famous line, Thursdays and Saturdays, even refers to the days of Judy Collins' regular therapy appointments. You know that line in the song, will
Thursdays
you come see
Thursdays and Saturdays?
Yeah, those are the days Judy would go to see her therapist. But by then, their relationship had flamed out, and Judy Collins was ready to move on. But Stephen Stills wasn't done. He still wanted to have a thing with her, so he used that song to try to woo her back.
And he did. Didn't it work?
Visiting her Holiday Inn hotel room, Still love struck, gifted her with a Martin guitar and sang and played. Sweet Judy Blue Eyes for her in its entirety. Judy Collins, who hadn't yet heard the song, was stunned and touched, recognized the subtle reference to her therapy appointments in the lyrics, said, he must have been reading my diaries. She told him it was a wonderful song, but sorry, all done with that.
Shut him down. Huh?
Yep. Yeah, you're not getting in here anymore. So that was the end of that. Both Crosby and Nash.
So the reworked version, Sweet Judy Blue Eyes, is a stone cold. No.
Both Crosby and Nash slept with Joni Mitchell. Nash slept with Joni Mitchell even when he was married, apparently, or when he was married, and then they took up together. Nash and Mitchell eventually lived together for several years, and, of course, the song Our House was written about their home life. And Nash and Stills went to war over Rita Coolidge. Do you remember Rita Coolidge? 8-track deck, please.
Yes, sir. Oh, I like this song. I always thought this was like Donna Summer or something.
Rita Coolidge. Rita Coolidge got caught up with the band when Stephen Stills invited her to sing background on Love the One You're With. Everyone knows that song, right? Well, Nash was staying with Stills at the time, and he was taken by Rita Coolidge. So, you know, Nash wanted Rita Coolidge. So he asked her to join him as his guest when Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young played the Forum in L.A., telling her to phone him at Stephen Stills' house. Give me a call at Stephen Stills' house. That's where I am. But when she did, Stills lied to her, telling her that Nash had changed his mind and that she should
go
with him instead.
He's in the pool with some other chick right now.
Yeah, no, you go out with me. So when Coolidge arrived with Stills, Nash was just demolished. Coolidge learned the truth shortly after, and then she started dating Nash. Later, when Nash broke the news of his love affair with Coolidge, Stills came out swinging. I mean, physically swinging at Graham Nash. And Rita Coolidge says, Graham, of course, is not a fighter. Somebody separated them and pulled them off.
Wasn't her most famous relationship with Kris Kristofferson?
Rita Coolidge?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. The relationship between Nash and Stills was strained for several years after that. So yet the band continued on. So there's women, I mean, the reason their band is probably never going to get back together again is because of what David Crosby said about Neil Young's woman, which offended Graham Nash to no end. You know, and
it wasn't even the drugs.
Daryl Hannah, no.
Of all the drugs, it wasn't even the drugs.
It wasn't the drugs, it wasn't the money. It was the women, really, that the guys couldn't deal with. That's the trash.